How can I know God's will? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, you might want to have it there to check out whether or not what we do on this broadcast is heresy. But this is not a verse-by-verse study on Fridays. Those of you who are new to Key Life, my pastor, Pete Alwinson, comes in, and we sit down and answer questions together. And I do that for a number of reasons. I do it because I like Pete, because he's on our board, and they set my salary, and it does not bode well for me if I offend a board member. Also, he's got a lot of profound things to say. But mainly, one of the major reasons we do this is to really say that Key Life is pro-church. I don't want to just talk about it, I want to demonstrate it. And so when my pastor comes in, that means the authority that I submit to in the church is sitting here when we're answering questions. And by the way, we love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. You got to send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, our Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email questions, steve@keylife.org, but with your regular mailing address if you want a response. By the way, check out our website, www.keylife.org. You can, if you haven't checked it recently, you're going to love it, and you can check out what we take and listen to today's broadcast and the previous 30. There's a devotional think spot every day on the website. There's a lot of good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. By the way, don't use the 1-800 number for questions. You can become a part of Key Life Tapes, get the booklets that we offer free, make a contribution. But you got to write your questions out, and we love to get your questions. Pete, I sure appreciate you coming in each Friday. I gave you last week off. I hope you're aware that you owe me.
I owe you, and I'm well rested.
Okay. It's hard to do this, isn't it, when we're taping it? Hey, listen, would you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these questions.
Right. Oh, Father, we come to you today, and we're glad that we can come into your presence. Lord, it's been a busy week already, and we're glad to be able to think about you and pause. Father, we have more questions than we ever really get answered, but we know that you are the source of life, and you're the source of all the answers to the questions that really matter. And we come to you today and worship you. We pray that you would open our hearts to you more and more, and you would get a bigger place in our lives. And as we look ahead towards Sunday, we pray, Father, that you would cause us to be people who come to you looking to give you honor and praise and glory, and then be ready to receive from your Spirit and from your Word. Lord, be with our leaders who are going to be teaching us on Sunday, and give them a message that will be strong and clear, and that you would make our hearts be ready to receive it. Be with the priests, pastors, teachers, pastors' wives and their families. Lord, just guide and protect them and encourage them. And then, Lord, deal with us and teach us what you want us to know. And even now, as we ask these questions, Father, we pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to truth that would shape our lives and give us joy. And we pray these things now as we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is Pete from Ohio. How do I know for sure that my vocation is where the Lord wants me to be? How can I know God's will?
It's refreshing to hear people say that. You know, that a lot of people don't even ask that anymore. They presuppose that God baptizes and says is okay, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
So it's neat to hear that. And but a couple of things. One would be, of course, the Word of God. Do you agree with this? Somebody said 99% of God's will for our life is in the Bible.
Yeah. In fact, I think I agree with it totally. I think we ask questions about God's will, like, what should I do with my mistress? And you got to say, what are you, some kind of fruitcake? The Bible is clear about that.
Should I
and there's a lot of, yeah, or should I pay taxes? Right. The Bible is clear about those kinds of things. And but in terms of vocation, do you, is it okay to do what I like to do?
Absolutely. I think God makes it, you know the chariots of fire deal, Eric Liddell, who loved to run, and he said when he ran, he felt the pleasure of God. I think God is our Father, and he wants us to do what we really enjoy doing. So if it's legal, if it's within our our talent structure,
then that's okay. Unless God knows it. Do you think that there's something more spiritual in what you do than in what a stockbroker does, if you're both Christians?
As long as he ties to our
church.
Okay. No, absolutely. You know, that the Bible doesn't have that distinction between sacred and secular. So if a stockbroker is following the law, sure, man, that's his ministry.
Okay. How do you know the will of God?
Well, in the areas that are in the gray areas where Scripture is maybe not as clear, you first of all get the biblical principles. Just soak yourself in Scripture to know the mind of God. Know what your talents and gifts are in those areas, and then kind of go with your desire. Augustine, I believe it was St. Augustine, who said, "Love God and do what you please."
Yeah.
If I can do this within the will of God, it's within the gift structure that He's given to me. Do it and have fun.
And then we have the family of God. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are often the ways God communicates His will.
Yeah, and I think we don't use that enough. I think we're too individualistic, and we ought to go and ask for guidance from godly men and women in our church.
Yeah.
To say, hey, do you think this might be where God's leading me?
Does God speak still, and He sometimes directly say,
well, this is your show. I might commit heresy. What do you think?
No, I think he does. I think there is a branch of our own theological place and heritage of Reformed theology that suggests that God said what He was going to say, mm-hmm. and He's never going to say anything more. And I think God's a person. Now, if it violates Scripture, I don't believe God gives you revelation.
Right.
But I think there are times when God leads us and impresses on us something. I'll bet that happened when you came to Willow Creek, to our church.
I bet, and I think that we ought to. I do think that we need to as Reform sort of back up and say, of course, He's our Father.
Yeah.
Jesus is our Lord, and the Holy Spirit is in us as our Comforter and Guide and Teacher. So sure, He does. He's not revealing new truths, but He is leading us and guiding us as His children.
Good stuff. We said. And we said last week, or week before Good Friday, before Easter week, we were answering questions. And toward the end of the broadcast, I said, I get a question from somebody in Florida that said, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Does it happen when one believes in Jesus Christ? And I think we spent maybe 30 seconds on it. And I said, why don't we talk a little bit more about it today? Mm-hmm. So we might want to address that. Is there a second working of grace whereby we're baptized in the Holy Spirit when we aren't first becoming a Christian?
Well, my perspective is, and then you can straighten me out, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into Christ, speaks of what happens when we believe in Christ the first time. We're incorporated into Christ. I think the question is, are we then at some point by Christ baptized into the Holy Spirit? You know, that's the sort of the classical distinction I think that some of our charismatic brethren used to make. I don't know. I don't want to speak for them right now. But I would say there's many workings of grace. God is continuing to work His grace in us. But certainly, in terms of the one baptism that really counts, is the one that unites us to Christ.
Yeah. And you quoted that passage. There's one in Ephesians 4 or 5 or 6. I mean, I'm not a pastor. I don't have to know these things. Where there is one baptism, and
that's right.
It's referring to. Now, I think a lot of the disagreement that we have in the body of Christ is nomenclature and not reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys aren't going to change because of me or because of Pete, those of you who are charismatic or Pentecostal, but if you called it filling, we wouldn't have so much trouble
mm-hmm.
or experience with or something. And I would suggest there isn't a separate event where the Holy Spirit then becomes real, but maybe a third and a fourth and a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't I don't have any problem at all with the experience. It's mostly with what you call it. A rose by any other name.
The controversy, good point you make about the filling, because in the original Greek, I believe it says, be filled and continue to be filled by the Spirit.
Yes.
Where we get into the hassle with each other is where some would say that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a second working of grace, then that is evidenced by speaking in tongues. And that's where there's more controversy.
Yeah, I would have some problems with that, but I wouldn't in any... Well, we've offended everybody. Yeah, I mean, we ought to come down on one side of this issue, Pete. Then we're going to get letters from both sides. But I don't believe any of the sign gifts have stopped. There's no biblical reason why they've stopped. I just don't believe that tongues is the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But listen, because we believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit is what happens when you get saved.
Uh-huh.
And so, but we recognize their other views, and can we disagree and still be friends?
Absolutely. And fortunately, there's not as much debating over this as there used to be.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're really talking for a change, and it's kind of good to see happen. All right, let's see. This is an email. What do you personally do for your devotions?
What do you do? Do you have devotions?
Are you kidding? I'm a spiritual giant.
I know you have.
Of course.
You've influenced me greatly. You get up really early, and you...
I really do, by the way. I'm a very early riser. I was up at 4 this morning, because I'm a lot more spiritual than you were.
That's true. Karen got up that early.
Did she? Well, I knew she was more spiritual.
Our dog was barking, and I wasn't going to get up, and she did.
No, let me tell you what I do in my devotions. I have a liturgy that I got from the Church of Scotland that I use most mornings. And it's not the entirety of my prayer life, but it takes about 15 or 20 minutes to go through the liturgy. And it has places for confession and places to name people you're having problem with and forgive.
Hmm.
And it's a very good spiritual practice for me. And that's not the extent of my prayer life, but it's... but it gets me into the throne room, and I have a sense that I did what I was supposed to do when I do the liturgy.
Do you read scripture on top of that, or is that the
scripture? Yes, I do. I didn't for a while, and I don't, not because I'm against the Bible, but I was spending when I was a pastor. You know, I was constantly in the Word preparing for sermons on Sundays and on Wednesdays and conferences. And since that's not the constant thing that I do now, listen, let's talk about this a little bit more. We're out of time.
All right.
It happens when you're having fun. We'll refer to this a little bit more next Friday. You got to go. Whenever your writer calls, give us the call letters of this great station. And, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.